Yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, history was made. History was made for the first time. I turned down the opportunity for a free lunch. I didn't want to do it, but my responsibilities as a parent conflicted with my perpetual mission to seek out new forms of free lunch. I hated to miss it because the last one of these was just absolutely stellar. Not only was the food great, but the company was very impressive. And the person who tendered that invitation was apparently not so offended that he would not return to this program. I'm very pleased to welcome back Brian Kilmeade, New York Times bestselling author, co-host of Fox and Friends, and a nationally syndicated radio talk show host. I did hate to miss that, Brian, sincerely.
Right. I know, but you know, I told you, go on Craigslist, try to find a babysitter. I know it was last minute, but sometimes it's good for your kids to meet strangers.
Yes.
And you could have went to the lunch. And you just didn't want to shell out the money for some type of child care.
I would have made that, whatever I spent on child care, back in the two or three drinks that I would have had at that establishment.
That's true.
I hope it went well, though.
Oh, it went great. No one was really drinking. Unfortunately, evidently, people had to be productive in the afternoon. I've never even heard this. For morning show people, we don't even know what that's like. We had a good time. It was good to see the whole lineup there. We missed you and Curtis Sliwa, but hopefully we'll have them back in future years. Reader was able to come. The great Sid Rosenberg was also able to attend. The Cassie Matides with both kind enough to show up to Bobby Vann's, which is a fantastic place. I'm totally pros. I'm not used to this type of professional service.
All right. Well, next year, you know, count me in. I'm getting a babysitter on retainer early. Brian, let me begin by asking you about this the so-called border bill, which went down to defeat in the U.S. Senate. The people on both sides of the aisle have a problem with it. A lot of the so-called centrists in both parties seem to say, how dare you not pass this? Where do you come down on the border bill, and what do you see as the prospects for some sort of border security improvement at this point?
Not until the election. And who knows, you know, the thing that I laughed out loud when Joe Biden said, you know, I was going to fix the border, but now it's all on the Republicans. I mean, that's I just don't think the American people are that dumb. They could point to all the executive orders that he put together that watched his whole border fall apart from Title 42 on down. He let it dissipate, replaced it with nothing, didn't do the third party, got rid of the Remain in Mexico, stopped building the wall, told if you come, he said that before he got elected, if you want asylum, you'll get asylum. And he got a million people between October and February, a million people. That is illegals that we know of, encounters. That's a new all-time record. And to think that this proposal put together Sunday, if that was in pass, then it's Donald Trump's fault. So that's ridiculous. But there are some things that got the attention of the Border Patrol union president that is voting for Trump. And Will says, I'll always vote for Trump. He says that Biden broke the border, but there were things in there that they really liked. However, in the end, I asked this question. Republicans, when you said, give me border reform, and if you want foreign aid, they actually did it.
Right.
They gave you border reform. So did anyone think about what if you didn't like what that reform was? What are you going to do about the aid, most of which are for Israel? I think the majority barely are with Ukraine. But in some sectors, they don't want to pay. Nobody wants to pay for Ukraine, wants to let Russia win. I don't know who that would benefit. So now they're going to vote on just pure aid, which is where we were at in November, just like in the House. What were you guys thinking? If you don't have the votes, why did you put up for a vote on impeachment?
Well, so let's
why
talk
didn't
about
just wait
that,
for Steve
right?
Scalise?
So it's been this has been the pundits, for whatever it's worth. They have termed this a very bad week for the D.C. Republicans. Not only did the bill that McConnell negotiated in the Senate fail, but the Mayorkas impeachment failed in the House, and so did the Speaker Mike Johnson clean aid for Israel bill. Do you go along with that conventional wisdom that this was a bad week for congressional Republicans?
If Kevin McCarthy is still Speaker, they'd be much more organized. He's got a real sense of foreign relations. He would have been working to a degree behind the scenes with President Trump. He gets Trump and would have said, okay, this is what's possible. we're going to hold off on impeachment. We wouldn't have known why. Well, it's not a good week. We've got a lot going on. And next thing you know, he'd wait for Scalise to come back from his cancer treatment next week, and he would have put it up. Okay. But instead, we think we have the votes. Okay. We don't have the votes. All right. Well, let's do it again. Democracy's messy. This is the same period when the House is trying to show that under Republican leadership they can get something done. I mean, you need experience. And we're seeing that over and over again. I mean, this is Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz gave Johnson the speakership. He didn't really aspire to get it. He's not a master. He is not a maestro when it comes to wrangling up votes on anything. He just came out and said, I hate this bill. Didn't even play the game. Didn't even say, hey, I just got read into the bill. I read 200 pages and it looks terrible. I can't go for it. He goes, it is dead on arrival. Have you read it? No, I haven't read it. They didn't brief me. Well, what is dead on arrival? I mean, at least play the game.
This is our first week airing on KDAWN. We're joining you on there, and right. they said you're the guy to ask about how to have a successful show on KDAWN in Las Vegas, which we're excited about. But Nevada's also making quite a bit of news this week. You had President Biden there this week. You had the caucus today, which Trump is expected to win handily. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was there this week. You have the Super Bowl there on Sunday, which I'm going to ask you about in a minute. But this week they also had this primary, which doesn't really count for delegates, but Nikki Haley lost to none of these candidates. She lost in New Hampshire. She lost in Iowa. Yeah. She's polling very poorly in her home state of South Carolina. My question for you is, how long can she continue to hang on if she keeps losing everywhere?
Well, I think she's looking at these court cases and trying to see if it gets kicked off the ballot today in Colorado. Wants to see if some trial is going to start in the spring. So I cannot see her getting thrashed by 20, 30 points in South Carolina, her home state, and then waiting for Super Tuesday. And you're right. In Nevada, they were nowhere. I just can't believe it. Know why? Not so much the caucus and primary and who's got what and Donald Trump locked it up, whatever that is. If you want to be president, you need Nevada. And Trump lost it by 1 point. So go out there, go compete in there, see if you can set up a ground game. And then that's one of your arguments. Guys, I'm not as popular as Donald Trump right now, but I'm competing everywhere. And I got my team and I got my money, so it's not a wasted vote. But instead, she goes, she didn't go. The last time she went to Nevada, I think, was October. So, and that's not, if she says, I don't want to, I'm not going to go to New York, I'm not going to win, that's not going to be in the general, and Donald Trump will beat me in New York. Okay. But Nevada is a battleground state. There's no downside to showing up and seeing some party heads and see if somebody was moving off Trump. But right now, I find it hard to believe that she could last past South Carolina. And I was talking to some people yesterday, and they said, maybe she doesn't go to South Carolina.
Oh, really?
Maybe she pulls up stakes first.
Interesting. Hey, so it's interesting what you mentioned about the political implications of all these Trump trials, more than I can keep track of at this point. Is that what you think the Haley strategy is now? Try to rack up as many delegates as possible so that if Trump's not able to be the nominee because of some sort of external event, that she is then positioned to get the nomination by sheer math?
Yeah, I mean, if things were to come out, those polls, let's say Trump gets convicted somewhere and he does drop 15 points, and I don't see either one of those things happening. But let's say he does in New York. It's supposed to come up in, what are they talking about, May? This ridiculous case. But for some reason, if Brad convicts and they do a poll and Trump is suddenly down 15 points, Haley says, I'm beating Biden head to head, guys. This is the moment. So that's, I think, it's the only reason I think she's in, because she's not making herself better, in my humble opinion, for 2028, because she's taking Democratic arguments to Trump. They're talking about he's being too old and he's losing it. His time has passed and he only talks about himself. And I'm thinking to myself, is this a Biden speech? So that's not the way a Republican attacks a Republican. So that I found that she's getting more personal now that the end is near than she did in the beginning. And I'm wondering who told her, because if you want to have a future in 2028, you cannot do it without Trump supporters. So why get them angry now?
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Super Bowl Sunday in Nevada, one of the semi-annual traditions is having the president do an interview before the game on the network that hosts it. Now, I could understand, honestly, if Joe Biden didn't want to do an interview with Fox News because he views this as just a right-wing entity. I don't think anybody could make that case for CBS News.
But you know Barack Obama did, right?
Well, yeah, and so did Hillary Clinton, even though she wasn't president, right? But give me your view on Biden's decision to skip this Super Bowl interview.
It's the dumbest thing ever. Dumbest thing ever. But it plays into the fact is it's almost like looking at a report and if you're not playing in the Super Bowl Sunday, you're really injured. Don't tell me you're doubtful. You're really injured because everything's on the line. If you're not playing in this game with all the upside and making history, you're really injured. And if you turn down this interview, which gives you 20 to 30, 40, 50 million, and they'll play highlights throughout the weekend and on the shows all week, if you don't do this interview, and I know she'll get a couple of tough questions from CBS, so I'm not saying it'll be the hardest, but it won't be a layup. But if you can't do this interview, you can't be president.
Right.
Because there's no downside to doing this interview unless you're going on with vintage Mike Wallace, 1977. You know, and you got to sit down, and he's going to make that camera crooked, and not even show your hairline, just your forehead. And it's going to be ultra close, and they're going to bring up your 1977 Syracuse law school scandal. If it's one of those things, you say, okay, Mr. President, I don't think it's worth it. But this is going to be a couple of tough questions, a chance to assure the world that you're in control, got the Middle East understood. Well, look at the economy, whatever you want to say. Bidenomics works. It's a press release. Why would he turn this down? And Frank, if that means he's probably not doing another interview up until Election Day. And that means it's more than likely he's not going to debate, and he's going to make up an excuse that Donald Trump is an insurrectionist. And I don't want to give him – I don't want to legitimize. So he'll make up something. So I don't see how you can get the job. I mean, we're going to play – I'm sure you're playing these montages. Do you realize what a bad 2 weeks he's had?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I think it's a huge mistake on his part. I think I think it only reinforces the reservations people have about his ability to do the job. I see this as lose-lose. Lastly, Brian, what about the game itself? Who are you pulling for on Sunday, if anybody?
I'm not pulling, but I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to win. I think their team can make the adjustments, I think, even better than Kansas City. I think their team is more talented. And my belief is Kansas City is the most beatable, great team that I've seen. This isn't one of their best teams. They prepare well. They know the big game. But I do think that San Francisco is built to win now. San Francisco's got a problem with the Ravens. They got crushed by the Ravens. I think that they'll match up well with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be real interesting. Brian, I'm buying lunch next time. I'll coordinate calendars with you. That'll be fun.
And well, keep in mind, K-Dawn listeners, I'll be in Henderson, Nevada, April 27th on stage. It'll be fun. History, liberty, and laughs.
By the way, people can go to briankilmeade.com and see a lot of the upcoming appearances you're doing. And you can also get a copy of Teddy and Booker T, which is a terrific book. And you can actually get a signed version as well. Brian, always a treat. Thank you.
All right. Go get him, Frank.
Thank you.